Good morning once again, and we want to pick up where we left off last week, lessons from the life of Joseph. And I mentioned before at the beginning of that something about the two messiahs that the modern Judaism thinks about messiahs, and so I want to make a correction there. It's Messiah ben Joseph, the Messiah, the son of Joseph, which would be the suffering Messiah, a separate one from the Messiah ben David, or Messiah, son of David, which would be the triumphant, reigning king Messiah, right? But of course, we know that that Yeshua, Mashiach ben David, is the only one, and he came to suffer first and then to reign. And so let's pick up in Genesis chapter 42. So last week we went through the life of Joseph and how he was falsely accused and then sent to prison and then forgotten about for 2 years. And now he's come out of prison and he's interpreted Pharaoh's dream, gave glory to God in that way. And now he is made second to Pharaoh himself, from prison to second in command in a moment. Amazing how God can do that. I'm going to pick up in chapter 42. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, "Lest peradventure mischief shall befall him." You know, I think he still is grieving over Joseph, and he knew, like, he sent him out and he didn't come back, and I don't want to send my younger son Benjamin with them. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Remember the dream Joseph had about his brethren bowing down to him. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So now he's using an interpreter, of course, here. You'll see that later in the story, but he's using an interpreter. So he's speaking Egyptian, and he's using an interpreter to do that. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, "You are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." One is not. I guess they assumed he was dead, or they just didn't even want to think about it, maybe. Just, he is not. He's not around here anymore. This is all. So, and Joseph said unto them, "That is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your younger brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh." Boy, he's making it hard on them, isn't he? And he put them all together in ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison, Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, but we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. We're getting what we deserve. God is judging us. He's punishing us for what we did. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, all this blood is required. And now they're saying all of this in front of Joseph, not knowing that he knows their language, because he's speaking through an interpreter, right? So they're just freely speaking of what they did. And Joseph's hearing all this. He didn't know the backstory. He didn't know that Reuben, like, pled, said, no, don't kill him. He didn't know all these things. And imagine the emotions that are coming upon him. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus he did unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, the sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the men of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and will ye take Benjamin away? And Reuben spake to his father, Slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him. Said, My son shall not go down with you, for he is for his alone. If mischief in the which you go, then bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought unto them. Just spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, He shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, but if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, You shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether he had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straight and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, Israel, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, and that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee. That's interesting. Judah's the one that says, I will be surety. It'll be, I will take his place. Not interesting. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the, in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home, and slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time we are brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sacks, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again into our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. Isn't that interesting? So what can we learn from this part here? He says, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father. Who is the servant that was a servant to Joseph? Did Joseph just spend his time in Egypt doing nothing? No, I don't think so. I think he was teaching the people, especially they of his own household, who the real God is, right? That his God is the God. And this servant obviously believed it, right? He had a convert even in his own house. Isn't that neat? And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. Came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, whom you spake. Now, I'm not sure how long it had been. It's hard to tell, really. Sacks and sacks of, I mean, maybe how big of a sack would that be? I'm not sure. Didn't say, but, I mean, a sack of flour or sack of meal or grain would, I mean, he had 10 brothers, right? So 10 sacks. It's just hard to say. And they answered, thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. He hadn't seen him in a while. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on themselves and for the Egyptians who did eat with him by themselves, because the Hebrew. for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. They sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. So do you know what happened here? So he sets the table for them, and he lines them up in birth order. Now, when someone comes to our family, they go, okay, who's the oldest here? They're trying to figure this out. Here we have Joseph. He figured it out without even knowing, without them telling him who's the oldest, who's next, who's next, who's next. But he had them sit. He sits here. You make sure that one sits there, and then this one sits here, and he just had them all lined up. And they were like, how does he know this? Like, what is this? And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Okay, so the messes, that's not like they made a mess on the floor or something on the table. That's a pile of food. Maybe that's where that comes from, a pile of food, a mess. But messes. So notice what he did here. I mean, I'm sure everybody got a good mess. But Benjamin's mess was five times. Can you imagine, like, everybody has an equal amount of food, and then you come to the last one here, and he's got five big dishes all around him. Like, what is going on here? How come he gets five of those huge plates of food? And Joseph is eating with them. This is interesting. And usually the Egyptians don't eat with the Hebrews. It's an abomination to the Egyptians. It means somehow they were holier than everyone else. And the Hebrews were lower class, lower social class. Verse chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up! Follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake to them these same words. Wherefore saith my Lord these words, God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. See, they didn't know. They didn't know. I mean, that was quite an oath he swore, but they were sure. He was sure they were innocent of this. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong here, right? So, that person would die, they said, and we will all be your slaves. And he said, also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. No, he didn't even say, no, yeah, whatever you say. No, he said, well, according to your words, but everybody else can go free, only the guilty one, and he will be my servant. Not put to death, but the servant. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. Oh, they did it readily. They did it quickly. They were like, ha ha, you won't find it here. What? And then Benjamin opened his sack and there it is. How did it get in there? Oh, wow. They speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest. He was probably instructed to do that. He began at the eldest person's sack and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. Now, they weren't just going to leave him behind, were they? Because the word was that Benjamin was going to be their servant. And the person that was found with the cup would be their servant. And then everyone else would be blameless. They would be home. But they were not about to leave their brother Benjamin, were they? They've already done this before. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up into your father." Are you going to let him go? Are you just going to abandon your brother like you did the other time? Me? He didn't say that, but he's wondering, right? He's wondering, are you just going to go home without your brother? Are you going to go into people's hands like you did the other one? Then Jesus came near unto him and said, "Oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have ye a father or a brother?' And we said unto my Lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. His mother and his father loveth him.' And thou saidst unto thy servants, 'Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him.' And we said unto my Lord, 'He should leave his father would die. And your younger brother, come down with you, you shall see my face.' He came up unto thy servant, to my Lord. And our father said, 'Go again and buy us a little food.' And we said, 'We cannot go down if our younger brother be with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us.' And thy servant, my father, said unto us, 'Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, "Surely he is torn in pieces," and I saw him not since. And if ye take this one, this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, "If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?" So here it seems as though, after all these years, after thinking about what they did to their brother, this is exactly what they did to their father before. They brought grief to him by telling him their son was dead, bringing a lie of a coat with kid's blood on it. And now they're not willing to do this again, are they? So it seems as though maybe they've learned their lesson. And he exchanged himself. Once again, we see maybe a little picture of this here. Judah, of the tribe of himself, and be a bondman in exchange for Benjamin, to be a substitute. So all of this is just too much for Joseph. He sees his brethren have sorrow over what they did. He sees that they're repentant. He sees that they know they're guilty.
Now he's heard the story. He never heard the story before about what his father thought about where he was. Like, what is his father thinking? How did? Why does he think he's no more? Why does he think he's dead? Or how he died? Why he's not with them? Because obviously, he was lying there. Our brother is not, right? But they never told their father what they did. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." Can you imagine this ruler in Egypt saying that? They'd be like, scattered. As soon as he says something like that, because he cried it out. "Cause every man to go out from me." And they all run out of the room. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were in shock. "I am Joseph." Can you imagine? What? "I am Joseph?" You know, they heard something that they just couldn't even, it was, they were in shock. They couldn't even believe it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." No one could know that. No one could know that except for Joseph. He must be Joseph, right? How would they know? How would anybody know that they had sold their younger brother into Egypt? "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God hath sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Wow. This is amazing how Joseph has come to this realization that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. This isn't just a New Testament verse. This is an Old Testament verse. And Joseph is rightly attributing circumstances of life to the providence of God. And I think that we can also take an example from that as well. When things don't seem to work out, that God has a better plan for things than we think. "Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall make haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him." What a reunion. What did they talk about? "How many children do you have now? What are their names? Who's your wife's name?" All these things. "And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Can you imagine? Joseph is still in high regard. Now, later on, of course, we have pharaohs that forget who Joseph is. But now, Joseph is the hero. Joseph has saved the people. Basically, he's become their savior because of this interpretation that he did to the Lord with him. And so Pharaoh really likes Joseph. He's his right-hand man. He's a faithful guy. He's a faithful man. Joseph's brethren are coming. It pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Oh, if Joseph is like this, his family must be like this too. Right? Faithful man. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Don't bother getting a moving truck, because we're going to provide for you. Leave all that stuff behind. You have all the riches of Egypt before you. Now thou art commanded to do this. Also regard not your stuff. Verse 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to them to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Ah, hope. Hope. It revived his heart. And that's something that is so amazing about hope. Without hope, there's a crushing of the spirit. But when you have hope, it's an amazing difference it makes. And then Israel believed it, right? And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go down and see him before I die. Now he has purpose. Now he's not just living out his days, you know, but now he wants to see his son. You know, they say when older people, they just lose hope and all that, they just die very shortly after. They just die. But if you have a purpose, you have a something to live for, then you keep going. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Jacob. Giving glory to God and praise. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Remember that they still knew the promise that God had made to Abraham, his grandfather, and that he would make him a father of many nations, and he would make his children as the sand of the sea and of the stars for multitude. And God is here reaffirming this promise to him. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his daughters' daughters, and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, and Phallu, and Hezron, and Carmi, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. And I'm going to read all of these names here. I'll skip on down here to 26. All the souls which came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins beside Jacob's sons' wives, and all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born in him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 60. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went out to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and you shall say, What is your occupation? That you shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, and Pharaoh, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. So the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. There's no more money left. And Joseph said, Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for their horses and for flocks and for cattle and herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, We will not hide it from my lord, and how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds and cattle. There's not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed so that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned of them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for the seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your household, and for your food, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh shall have the fifth part, even the land of the priests only, which became, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob, 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in the burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me, and he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now, we know that there's a cave, the cave Machpelah, where Abraham was buried. And it's still there to this day in Israel. And so Jacob wanted to be buried there with his fathers. And so we know, if we read the rest of the story, that that's what happened when, after their long bondage, that they came out. Well, that happened before the bondage, excuse me. That's Joseph's body. But they brought Jacob to the cave and buried him there. So I think I'm going to stop there. So we can learn so many things from the story of Joseph and his brethren. So many things to do and not to do. Joseph was very gracious with his brethren. And I think that a lot of that graciousness came from trusting and believing that God had sent him ahead. And even in all these circumstances of life, no matter what we go through, that these things are meant for our good, if we will but trust the Lord with them and believe that God works all things together for those that love him.